you would, turn with us to John's Gospel, chapter 3. I want to do something a little bit different tonight. And I want to speak to you about a word. It's just one word as our subject. And this word in the New Testament is really a strong word. And it's the word nothing. And in the New Testament, when this word is used, it means not even one, not a whit, naught, just a complete nothing. And it's used many times in the Scriptures and in the New Testament. It's used in a strong way. Whereas like Paul wrote to Timothy, and he says, I brought nothing into this world, and it's for certain that I won't take anything or that I will take nothing out of it. And you can see that when a person is born, when they die, they take nothing and they bring nothing. And this is the emphasis on this word. But in studying a few weeks ago, I studied about the writer that uses this word the most. And it's in John's Gospel, and I hope that this will be interesting to you. I hope that it will be meaningful to you. And I want to use this as our subject. It's the word nothing. And, you know, when the real reason that I'm doing this is that when you go away and somebody asks you what the preacher preach about, well, just tell them nothing. Look with me for a minute in John chapter 3. And what I want to do, in case you're... I didn't explain this, but what I want to do is to show you how often John uses this in his gospel. He uses this word 19 times. And it's really a meaningful little study, and I hope that it will be interesting to you. Look with me in John chapter 3 and turn down to verse 22, and we'll begin reading there. In John chapter 3, in verse 22, the Scriptures tell us, and after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And you must remember that Jesus didn't baptize anybody. It was his disciples that did the baptizing. And in verse 23, John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. This is John the Baptist. And then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi or teacher, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And there was jealousy here. And in verse 27, John uses this word. John answered and he said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And this is the first usage by John of this word nothing. And what he says to us in regards to quell this argument or this temporary jealousy between the disciples of John the Baptist and those of the Lord Jesus is John emphasizes that a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John came into this world and he was an unusual child because he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And before he was ever born, the scriptures tell us that he leaped for joy over the good news of the Lord Jesus. And he recognized in an exclusive way that you can receive nothing except it be given to you from above. And with that in your mind, turn with me to John chapter 4. And let me point you to the second usage of this word by the Apostle John in his Gospel. Now, this is an interesting story in John chapter 4. It's the woman at the well. This well had been purchased by Jacob. Joseph was buried here or in this area. This woman comes to the Lord Jesus. She was a Samaritan, and the disciples go get meat and so forth, and Jesus teaches her a great deal. But this woman comes to the Lord, and in verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And this woman is interested now. And she sees that there's a real need in her life. But in verse 11, she says something. "The woman saith to him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with.'" And that's the second usage. You see, this woman was aroused by the words of the Lord Jesus. And she knew that there was something that he had that he could give to her. But she didn't see any physical means that he could obtain what she thought she needed. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever needed some money? And you would think, how in the world can God provide me with... I'll have to get me a job. I'll have to mow an extra lawn, or I'll have to work an extra hour or something. And you see, this woman limited the Lord Jesus because she didn't see any physical means that he had of obtaining what she thought she needed. And we're that way too. But we must remember this. This woman said to the Lord Jesus, "Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Do you know what her problem was? She was going in the wrong direction. The water that Jesus was talking about wasn't down, but from above. And the water that Jesus was talking about was living water. But she didn't think that he could fulfill what she thought she needed because she saw nothing. And sometimes we think that God, and you know, you ever hear the expression, well, God helps those who help themselves. Well, that's not exactly true. God helps those who can't help themselves. And sometimes we question the ability of the Lord to supply our need because we see nothing that He can do. But He can. Look with me for a minute to John chapter 5. And I want to try to hurry. I have two or three of these that I want to emphasize in a great way, but I want to try to emphasize this word nothing to you, and I want you to see, you know, each time you read this in John's Gospel or the New Testament, you have to remember that it's a strong word, and it means absolutely not one thing. And in John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus tells us something, and if you'll look with me to verse 18, Jesus in verse 17 answered and said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Now they couldn't see the Father in the sense that He was in the person of the Lord Jesus, but He was, but they didn't recognize that. And He says, "The Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God, which was the truth. He was God. But they didn't like that. And then in verse 19, look what He says. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Do you know what He's saying? The Father and the Son are one. The Son never exceeds the Father. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're all one. And this word "one" means that they are always in perfect harmony with one another. One never thinks, "Oh, I think this is a good idea. I'll do this." No, no. They are always together. And the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. Look with me for a minute down to verse 30. If you'll just slip back to verse 28, you'll see that He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." And in verse 30, He uses this word again. "I can of my own self do nothing." Now, that seems strange, doesn't it? Jesus was God. He was, as God, omnipotent and all-powerful, all-wise, all-sufficient. But He said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." But He says, "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Here is the power of God's will in our lives. Don't do things of yourself, only what He shows you and what you hear from His Word. Don't do anything. Do you know this guy, this outspoken guy in our church, came back into my office a minute ago and he said, "You know, Royce, I'm not going to get anything. I'm not even going to be able to plow in the kingdom because I don't do anything." Did you know that that's better than doing the wrong things? Don't do anything except what the Father shows you and what you hear from His Word. That's what Jesus did. And have you ever thought about this? Jesus was born. Then in a few years, when He was 12 years old, He went to Jerusalem out of Nazareth. And then for 18 years, nothing is said about Jesus. The only thing that it's indicated in the New Testament is that He went to the synagogue as His custom was. But then one day when He was 30, John the Baptist baptized Him, and there is this voice from the Father says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Pleased with what? Pleased that He did only those things that He saw the Father do and that the Father told Him. This should encourage us. The ordinary, everyday, unnoticed, insignificant things of just going about your own business, doing what is expected of you in a family relationship, and knowing that God the Father is pleased with that action. And that's what Jesus did. That was why His life was extended. He could have died. He could have died when He was 12 years old and still redeemed us. But He waited all of those years just to show us, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. You know the hardest part of living the Christian life? Is the same old drudgery. Same old routine. The everydayism of every bit of it. So anyway, this is John chapter 5. Look with me to John chapter 6 for a minute. In chapter 6, John uses this word three times. And if you'll look down with me to verse 10, let me read in verse 10 so you'll see this is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And in verse 10, Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. Mark says that it was green grass. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, Jesus said to His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, and here's our word, that nothing be lost." Why do you think Jesus, knowing how many people were there, would create all this bread. You know, you go to a restaurant and there's eight people that are going to eat with you, or so many, and you say, give me enough food for eight people. You know, you wouldn't say 20, but Jesus did. He created from this little boy's five loaves and two fishes a whole lot more than was actually needed. These people were filled. And this word filled means something that completely satisfied them. But Jesus just... Do you know what He's teaching us? That the supply through the miracle that He did here, His supply, His provision exceeds all the needs that there ever was. You would say, how powerful would the blood of the Lord, the blood of the Lord Jesus could have saved every person in the entire world that it was ever born or even thought about being born. The provision of the Lord Jesus is much greater than the needs of men. And because of that, He's trying to show us that nothing will be lost. You would say, preacher, this doesn't really apply to believers, does it? Look with me in your Bibles down to verse 39. John 6 and verse 39. Jesus says in verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Do you remember what we read about in John 5? It's doing the will of the Father. And in verse 38, He said He came to do the will of Him that sent me. And in verse 39, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now then, in this miracle of the bread, the fragments were gathered together in 12 baskets. Do you know what's going to happen at the resurrection of the Lord when the Lord comes and the believers? We're going to see that there was a lot more that we could have had that we didn't use. He provided, and His provisions exceeded what we've used. And won't that be the great condemnation when we can see then what we should have used now? And is that not the story of the talents or the pounds? And Jesus said, of all that the Father gives me, I should lose nothing. And this is the Father's will. What is the will of God? The greatest will of God is for us to know that nothing will be lost. But it should be raised up again at the last day. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, He uses this word again. And this is an oft-quoted verse. And in verse 63, the Lord Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, that is, makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could all comprehend that? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. And that's what John the Baptist said in John 3:27. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from the Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And do you have your Bibles and the verses that are there? That's John chapter 6 and verse 66. And that's 666. And that's what happens when the man of sin comes along and his number is prevalent. There'll be a great falling away, a great turning away, and a great misunderstanding of this verse that he mentions in verse 63 when he said, "The flesh profiteth nothing." Paul says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing." Yet these people who will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ say, "Lord, have we not done?" Yeah, but not in accordance to His will. And He'll say, "I never knew you." We do it, but we can only profit as we see, or as He reveals to us, and as we hear. Nothing will be accomplished in the flesh. Nothing. Look with me, if you will, to John chapter 7 for a minute. And you'll see that he uses this word nothing again. This is the eighth time that he uses it in this gospel. But you'll see that the Lord said to his disciples, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" And this is something that's kind of ironic. The common person knew that Jesus was the Christ, and the rulers didn't. But anyway, skip on over with me to chapter 8 for a moment. And let me read down to get you to look with me down to verse 27. In John 8, he uses this word nothing again. He uses it twice in this chapter. And in verse 27, he says, "They understood not that he spake to them of the Father." And in verse 28, he said, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He," that is the Christ, "and that I do nothing of myself." And what he emphasizes here is that he had told them that he could call legions of angels and deliver him and capture the world, but he wouldn't. And what the will of the Father is, and what the power of the Father's will in our life is knowing what He wants us to do and not doing what we really could do in order to stay in that place where we know He wants us to be. Jesus could have destroyed all of these people. He could have talked back to Herod and Pilate, but you know what the Bible says that He said to them? Nothing. Not one word. He said nothing. And the cross, which Jesus refers to in this 28th verse, when he says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man," the cross was the Father's will. It was for this purpose that he was born. And he says, when you have lifted me up, you'll know that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. What had the Father done in chapter 5 and in verse 19? He revealed to him. In chapter 5, verse 30, he talked to him. He told him. Now, look with me in John 8 for a minute, down to verse 54. John chapter 8, verse 54. This is emphasizing the humility of the Lord Jesus. He uses this word again. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Wouldn't it be great if each one of us realized that? Well, who are you? Oh, listen, I'm the pastor out here. We have 500. We had 30 baptized last Sunday. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Think how Jesus was humiliated. Think how they beat him. Think how they plaited the crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And he stayed in the will of the Father. And his Father honored him. I thought about something. I saw a replica a few days ago of the Declaration of Independence. And if you've ever seen this, you'll see that there's one guy who signed this Declaration of Independence, and his name was John Hancock. And he signed it in a great big old way, you know, to try to get everybody's attention, I guess. You know, and they used to use this expression when you'd go to the bank or to buy a car, say, put your John Hancock on this, you know, they used to say that some. I guess they still do. I don't know. But you know the story of John Hancock? He was a rich man who lived in Boston. And when the colonies declared their independence, the British came in and obliterated Boston. They burned most of it. And in his biography, John Hancock stood on the outside of the city as it was burning, and he said, burn, Boston, burn. We'll be free from this British control one day. And Glenn and I went to Boston a few years ago, and we went up in this great big old towering building. And we looked out all over the St. Charles River and over the Harvard University and all these places, and looked over all of, and it was the John Hancock building. And I told Glenda when we were way up there shaking like a leaf, or Southerners or country people from San Mountain, said, you know, one day the Lord will exalt all of His children that have humbled themselves before Him. Those who have suffered loss will one day be raised to the glory of God the Father. And if you look with me again in John chapter 9, you'll see that he uses this word again. John chapter 9. And you'll see that the people, the average people, when the Lord healed this blind man, Look with me in John chapter 9, verse 33. And I'm just going to kind of really hurry to get to where I want to be in a minute. In John chapter 9, verse 33, the people said, "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." It will become evident that you're God's person if you won't do anything but stay in the Father's will. If you'll just obey what the Lord tells you and just do. And what if He don't tell you to do anything? Don't do anything. Because the flesh is not going to profit anything. Nothing. Look with me to chapter 11 for a minute, in verse 49. He uses this word again. Caiaphas, the high priest, that same year said to them, "You know nothing at all." And what he said in verse 50, "Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not." And he knew that the Lord Jesus was Christ. Look with me to chapter 12 and verse 19. The Pharisees said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing?" They couldn't do anything against Jesus and His purpose. But it looked like they were winning, but they wasn't. And it may appear that things are going wrong in your life. It may appear that there are backsets. They may appear to be things that... But if you're in the Father's will, no one can do nothing to you. He'll protect you. And then look with me to chapter 14 and verse 30. Now, I'm trying to hurry to get to a couple of these that I want you to see before we leave tonight. Jesus is talking to His disciples in John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And in verse 28 of John 14, He says something that's precious that we need to remember. And in verse 28, He said to His disciples, "You have heard how I said to you, I go away and come again. If you loved Me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father." Why? Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't come if He didn't. We wouldn't have an advocate with the Father if He didn't. And in verse 29, "Now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." Hereafter, in verse 30, "I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh," and it's Satan, "and hath nothing in Me." And that's why he couldn't sin. It was impossible for him to sin. He couldn't. Satan didn't have any. People say, "Well, then what about us? You know, we've got all kinds of flaws, but not the Lord Jesus. Not one thing." And this is to emphasize the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus. Nothing. Not one thing. He could not sin. Look with me down to chapter 15 for a minute, in verse 5. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing." The flesh profiteth nothing. Without Christ, ye can do nothing. One time, a long time ago, when I started preaching, I read this thing that a man wrote, and he wrote about the word Christian, and I believe it was G. Campbell Morgan, but I'm not sure now. And did you know that if you take the word Christ out of Christian, the last three letters are I-A-N. And this man said that stands for I am nothing. And this is what Jesus is saying. Without me, ye can do nothing. Did you know that they didn't believe that? Look over with me. If you hold your hand here, I want to skip over a few places. Look over with me to chapter 21. John's Gospel, chapter 21. If you look in chapter 21 and look in verse 3, Simon Peter said to these guys that were with him, I go fishing. And they say to him, we'll also go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. These men were professionals. They were fishermen by trade. They knew how to do this. But without Christ, you can do nothing. Turn back with me for a minute to John chapter 16. And I want to read a really precious part. And I hope that if nothing else means anything to you, that this really will. Look with me in John chapter 16. And in verse 21, the Lord says, a woman when she's in travail hath sorrow, because her hour has come, but as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembers no more of the anguish for joy that a man's born into the world. And now therefore, ye have sorrow, but I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh away from you. Now I want you to carefully in your heart meditate, remember and think about verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. What in the world could that possibly mean? There'll be no questions. There'll be no doubt. There'll be no fear. There will be no needs. We'll be one with the Father and the Son. In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. No questions. No request, no prayer. But when will that day be? It won't be here. It won't be now. But let me show you something that's marvelous. Hold your hand here for a moment. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 65. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 65. In Isaiah 65, if you read verse 20, you'll see that the Lord says there'll be no more infant of days, nor an old man that's not filled his days. A child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner 100 years old will be accursed. They'll build houses and inhabit them. They'll plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And that's in the kingdom. But look at a little verse that he inserts here in chapter 65. And it's in verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're speaking, I'll hear. And that's a little indication of that day that Jesus is referring to in John 16. But how will he know? He's omnipotent. He knows all things. All powerful. Omniscient. All wise. All knowing. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Complete satisfaction. Perfect harmony. No needs, no fears, no sorrows, no wants, no difficulties. And my brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's a part of the great joy of the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus over this earth. That's a part of the great privilege that we have to be intimate with the Lord Jesus, to know Him in His power. And that's a part of what the Lord means when He says, "Do my will. The flesh profiteth nothing." And when we do the Father's will, there is nothing that He does not supply that we need. There is nothing that can be done against us that will succeed until we accomplish His purpose in our life. In that day. And then, of course, He says, it's for the purpose that your joy may be full. He says in verse 24, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my..."